Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann. Thanks for joining us. Long-running feuds and administrative infighting amongst EP rugby officials once again landed before the courts this past week, and the recently reinstated acting president of the union, George Malkas, joins us on Behind the Herald Headlines today. George, thanks for your time. You've been reinstated as acting president by the courts. Do you feel vindicated? It's possible this may only be a brief respite. I see SA Rugby have called on you to hold emergency elections within 21 days.
Thank you so much, Darren, for the opportunity to be part of this broadcast this morning. Yes, to be very frank with you, I do feel vindicated. At the end of the day, I obviously had to turn towards the courts of law to try and remedy the situation, because honestly, I was getting nowhere trying to resolve it in the boardroom. It caused a lot of strife. It caused a lot of division. And at the end of the day, when I sat down with some other members of the executive committee who understood where we were at the time, we jointly decided that this matter needs to be ventilated in court, and so that the general public can become aware of what's happening in Eastern Province Rugby. It's been a long, hard road. It's been 3 months where there was a lot of planning going on behind the scenes, lots of consultations with legal teams and so on. There's been a bit of delay every now and then with some documents not being served timeously and or the return of services not being received in time. But eventually, you know, after all this period, I was felt vindicated on the 4th of June. And I think anybody who understood what the ruling of the court was going to be and where we were at the time would have been aware of the fact that it had to come to an end at some point or another. And where I am today, back as acting president, I think I am personally, in my personal capacity, I'm vindicated, but also in the interest of rugby and Eastern Province as a whole, the community, I think we now have started to find the building blocks to rebuild the union to where we need to be.
Where exactly are we at the moment? As I understand, SA Rugby have said you need to hold emergency elections within 21 days. Is that the situation, and are the wheels in motion for that? And what do you anticipate the outcome to be?
Yeah, I'm going to back up a bit, and I will give you the exactly what has transpired up to now. Yes, Sharon Brown, the acting general manager, was being bullied as far as I'm concerned. She was being intimidated by the, let me call him the ex-president, Antoni and others, and they were putting pressure on her to call an exco meeting to implement some of the matters that they've started and so on. And I've been telling Sharon not to concern herself with that, but to refer all queries to myself and or other members of the executive committee who has always been in support of this action. But the pressure has been relentless upon her, and at the end of the day, she decided to seek guidance from South African Rugby, Rian Oberholzer. I received that correspondence on Monday evening from SA Rugby. I knew they were meeting on Monday afternoon, and on Monday, late in the evening, I received that correspondence where Saru has asked us to do certain things. Now, my view on the matter, Darren, is that, number one, I think Saru missed the boat completely. We had an opportunity on the 6th of February to resolve these issues. Now, if I should return to the court papers, I extensively dealt in my court papers as to what transpired on the 6th of February 2024 when we met as an executive with Francois Davids, the deputy president of Saru, and Chantal Dupasani, the head of legal and compliance at Saru. Now, in my papers, I said exactly that I think Saru let us down by not taking a position where they actually informed Antoni and his grouping at the time that constitutionally I am the acting president. At that meeting, in the interest of rugby, I agreed to stand down for 21 days. As an agreement that in 21 days, we will have an election to fill that vacant positions. Also understanding that that election to fill that vacant positions was not going to affect my position in any way whatsoever, because I'm still the elected vice president. What probably would have happened on that 21-day period, I was going to be nominated to be the president of the union. But I believe that SARU should simply have, at that point, have confirmed I'm acting president. 21 days later, we'll have an election, and those vacant positions will then be filled. Unfortunately, I'll reiterate, I've stressed that point in my papers, that SARU failed us. SARU allowed a unconstitutional, irregular process to unfold on that day. And amongst others, Philip Joseph, the chairperson of Club Affairs, Mulelo Gidane, chairperson of Finance, and myself raised the issues with SARU to say, but you cannot do this. We can go for a 21-day election on the basis that I remain where I am, acting, taking us up to the election as it is. But for some reason or another, SARU relented and allowed for an election to take place at that meeting, of Antoine being president, Serfontein being deputy president, and Bunce filling the vacancy of coaching and development, which is nowhere in our constitution. And that much I've alluded to in my court papers. At the end of the day, we found ourselves that we're out, Antoine is acting. Now, instead of complying with SARU's directive, I'll call it a directive at this stage, because SARU cannot order as such. Instead of complying with the directive, Antoine and the others went about and they started involving themselves in the administration of EP Rugby as if they were correctly appointed as the president, deputy president, and others. So de facto, they started calling meetings, changing the mancos, changing subcommittees, kicking some people out, and doing whatever they felt was necessary to run rugby at the time. But that was not the gist of the SARU agreement at that point. The simple agreement was, take us to an election. Let the administration, let the general manager do what she needs to do, and take us to an election 21 days later. I kept on harping on these points. It led to my suspension unconstitutionally. In fact, I received a letter one evening, or let me take it back. I was in a virtual meeting on a particular evening, and with the Exco. It was early in March, and some of these issues were placed before the meeting. I was the one who in that meeting said, guys, this cannot be. You're missing the boat. It's unconstitutional. It's unlawful. At some point, I was kicked out of that meeting virtually. I couldn't gain access to the meeting because they, Antoine and his friends, decided that I'm disrupting the meeting. But I was standing on the exact points that I was dealing with in my court papers. I was denied access. The next day, I received a letter to say, look, we suspending you with immediate effect. You are out. I said, fine, let it be. I know what the Constitution says. I need to appeal this finding. I appealed the finding to an independent appeals committee, well-respected members of the judiciary in Port Elizabeth, advocates, attorneys, and they are independent of Eastern Province as per the Constitution. Antoine blocked that. He said, look, I have actually reconstituted the appeals committee. I need a new members on the appeals committee, which is also unconstitutional because there's a process as far as the Constitution is concerned as to how to appoint and when to appoint these members. On the public holiday, I think it was the 21st of March, my appeal was set down. My appeal was to be heard on the 21st of March at 6 o'clock that evening. It's well documented, and the appeals committee has placed it on record, that when we arrived at EPRU's office that evening, the doors were locked. When we called the general manager to find out what's going on, there's no venue, nothing's been arranged. We simply indicated that Antoine has instructed that we shall not have access to the building, and this appeal will not be heard. Now the general public may not know about this, Darren, but this is the type of challenges we experienced within the administration then. And my only attempt at that stage was to have my suspension overturned so I could participate and be nominated for the position of president as it is. But as you can understand, I was suspended. I could not participate in the election. So the next morning, the Friday morning, the chairperson of the appeals committee instructed that this appeal shall be heard on the Friday, the 22nd of March at 8 o'clock at Advocate Neil Patterson's chambers. We went there 8 o'clock that morning and there was no attendance by EPRU. The appeals committee called the office of Antoine and we received a WhatsApp message to say, look, we're not interested, do as you please, we don't acknowledge whatever findings you made. Later that day, after my presentation, my appeal was successful and I was reinstated by the appeals committee. Now, once again, when that document went out to EP to confirm what the position is, I must add there was also another appeal by Young Collegians Rugby Club at the stage who also appealed some of the issues pertaining to their club, pertaining to the annual general meeting that was going to be heard on the, where that was going to take place a few days later, pertaining to the elections and so on. Young Collegians was in the same boat as I. After my appeal was concluded, they were the next who have appealed. They were also successful in their appeal on that same day. Both those two appeals, although being successful, Antoine and the executive refused to implement. I was in no uncertain terms told, you're not coming to the meeting. You are still suspended. You will have to wait for a disciplinary committee meeting. Now, with due respect, I've been a practicing attorney for more than 30 years and in the law profession for almost 40 years at this stage. I understood what the Constitution said and how I should go about, and I went about exactly the way the Constitution said. Antoine and the others, on the other hand, had their own interpretation that there could not have been an appeal because there was no disciplinary hearing and so on. But the Constitution was clear. At the end, I found myself having to go to court because now I've gone through the structures of EP. It didn't work. I was being blocked unlawfully. I had to go to court. I went to court and I was successful at court. Now, to return to your original question, where are we now with EP? Yesterday, after receiving that document from SARU, I wrote a long, long, long email to SARU wherein I said the following to them. Number one, SARU, I'm perturbed, I'm disturbed by the way and the manner in which you are bringing about this correspondence. That correspondence is floating out there, it's been leaked, right? And if you look at it, you will see that it is addressed to the executive of EPRU. My issue number one was, why do you address this to the executive of EPRU? Are you not acknowledging the effect of the court order which says the vice president of Eastern Province Rugby Union, duly elected, is the head of this organization? Protocol would dictate that you would write that correspondence to me and then I should disseminate it to my executive. That is an acknowledgement, first of all, that you adhere to the court order. And on that basis, we can then talk to one another. You are actually, in my view, and I said it as much in my correspondence with him, you are actually causing division and strife amongst us. Because an interpretation of that document as it is you're talking to everyone. And you're not acknowledging me as the head of this organization. And remember, that is where the issue started in November. Before we went to the SARU meeting in February, in November, there were issues regarding whether or not I am the duly elected, appointed, designated person to take over the union at that stage. Now you're pouring more fuel onto the fire. Why are you not acknowledging me? Because I think this is really, really just adding to the problem. Number two, I said to SARU, it's strange that, you know, for 3 months, Rome was burning here in the Eastern Cape. It was all over the newspaper. It was in the national Sunday newspapers of all the issues we were experiencing here. And there was not a single sound being uttered by you, SARU, to intervene in this matter. On top of that, I personally wrote to you, SARU, and I said, look, guys, I've been suspended. I think you need to jump in here. You need to come and step in here and please bring sanity to this organization. There was no response from your side. The appeals committee, an independent committee, filed a complaint with you, SARU, in your office, which was acknowledged. You say, this is what's happening here. There is no proper governance here. Antoni has now taken over the role as an appeals committee and a disciplinary committee, and he does whatever he pleases. He's not acknowledging us at all, and you did not even, from 22 March up until today, you have not intervened in any way whatsoever. Number three, Motherwell Rugby Club, Young Collegians Club, wrote to you and said, this is our issues. We are simply being shunned aside here. And there was a petition by 19 other clubs that was sent to you. You did not even acknowledge it and say, guys, we're tending to it. We're going to talk to Antoni. We're going to send someone to come in. And so I can go on and on and on there and on matters that I have engaged Saru in. You know, the cherry on top for me was when we had an election, when Antoni was elected, there was correspondence from the independent auditor to Saru to say, Saru, we are not happy with what took place here today. We've never come across an incident where more than 60% of the clubs walk out and then there's an election. We are letting you know that we are not satisfied with what happened here today. Saru went ahead and they confirmed Antoni as president, notwithstanding all of those issues. Now, any sane person, any reasonable, objective person would have expected our mother body to have intervened. Now, I highlighted all those issues in my correspondence to them yesterday. And then I said, yet I find it completely strange that you suddenly at this juncture try to direct us what to do. After you gave an initial directive, which we indicated to you was not implemented, you now come and you say, in 48 hours, we need you to do X, Y, and Z. I pointed out to them, nowhere in our constitution does it state that I have to do whatever you ask me to do within 48 hours. Yes, you may advise, but at the end of the day, the administration of Eastern Province Rugby Union are independent. And based on the history that we've experienced in the last couple of months, I'm disappointed that you suddenly jump in here and you want this thing to be resolved. What is happening in EP at the moment, and I indicated to them, last week, Thursday, the Wednesday immediately after the court order was served on everyone, I called for a virtual meeting. And we had a virtual meeting. It was at short notice. Some members attended, others did not. I then called a meeting for the next day. Thought, let me give them 24 hours notice. The next day at 5 o'clock, it's well documented how that meeting was disrupted by Elbow Prince and his armed security guards. I've opened a court case, a criminal case with the SAPS for that. And I'm expecting that there should be some arrest. To Elbow Prince is one of the respondents on the court papers. Elbow Prince was brought in by Antoni to be the representative of Sunday's River Valley Rugby Sub-Union. Now, if I back up to the court papers, you'll see in my court papers I deal with members being brought in onto the executive without going through their structures, without being duly appointed in their structures. But what transpired is Antoni and others simply brought Prince in order to bolster their numbers on the executive, because internally we were very close to a split in terms of 50-50. But with the new numbers, with Prince and Valerie Witboy being added and Buns being allowed to be there illegally as well. And then they brought in Patrick Legrancy from Kokama, Koga Sub-Union. They had numbers in the Exco, so they could push through what any decision or any resolution that favored them, and anything that was not in their favor was obviously struck down as not carrying the vote as it is. So last Thursday, Prince, who is now in his mind an elected member of the executive, burst into the meeting with his armed henchmen, and I had to close off that meeting. On Friday, he did the exact same thing. Now, I'm gonna say at this stage, what sane person would allow someone with such a character, such a volatile character, to be part of an organization as Eastern Province Rugby Union? Respectfully, I'm going to say that I sincerely believe that Prince was brought into that exco to be the henchman, to be the destructive force, to be abrasive and aggressive in instances like this. Prince, Buns, Antoni, Serfontein, and to an extent, Witboy, was that it was the respondents on my papers. And on that ground alone, they had no right to be part of the meeting. So I'm not adhering, and I indicated to Saru yesterday, I'm not calling a meeting within 48 hours. I had a meeting set down last Thursday, which I then postponed until this Thursday, which is tomorrow at 5. My meeting will be at 5 tomorrow. My meeting is simply to get the views of the EXCO members and to inform them this is the extent and the implications of the court orders, and these are the proposals as to how we go forth building Eastern Province Rugby. What I intend doing, Darren, is to get a mandate from the EXCO that we call a SGM, a Special General Meeting. We'll set a date. The intent of the Special General Meeting shall be to obtain a mandate as to where do we go from here. The clubs are the constituents of Eastern Province Rugby Union. The General Council, which is constituted by the clubs, are the only body that can direct us, except for the court, obviously. Now, the clubs need to get together, hopefully within the next month. They need to give us direction. Where do we go? And the direction we need to go is, I'm taking us back to before 6th of February. The direction we need to go here is that the clubs will vote and decide where we go. And I believe what will take Eastern Province forward at that meeting is one or the other. The one thing is we can go back to an original understanding that we nominate and elect a president, a deputy president, and chairperson of coaching and development. In my view, that is a temporary position. But remember, we have elections in February, March next year, where everyone vacates their position and we have our elections then. So if we decide, the club should decide that's where we need to go, we will in any event have an election in February or March next year. My personal view, and this is the one I'm going to advocate, is that we get a mandate from clubs that we have early elections, that we have elections in August or September of this year, within the next month or two. We nominate afresh for all positions and we start on a clean slate. We start with new blood, with new people in positions, and whoever is available and thinks he or she can take Eastern Province forward, if they go through the nominations process and they lobby support and there's an election and there's a vote that says Mr. X and Mr. Y and whoever is the new president, at least I know that we will start off the new season with a team that has been put together by our constituents, by our clubs as it is.
Could I ask you, George, would you accept Gerald Anthony as president if he were voted in at a meeting like that? And then second to that, do you think he would accept you?
Yes, I obviously will accept him. If the clubs have spoken, I have to accept him. I've got no option. I've got no choice as far as that's concerned. So whoever, even if Darren Mann is nominated and he's elected as a president, I've got to accept him. I don't know what Antoni's position with me should be or what it will be, but I can state it clearly. Whoever is elected in those positions, they will have to serve. I will have to decide my own position, whether I want to be nominated. As such, I know there's a lot of pressure on me from all and sundry at this point that I should lead, and I'm sure they will come back and ask me to stand for that position again, but I think my first and only priority at this point is to take us through this turmoil that we are in so that we can start all over.
Now, George, regardless of all the detail, and it sounds awfully messy, I think everyone would acknowledge, and certainly from the outside looking in, the atmosphere has been way too toxic for way too long now. What lies at the heart of the feud, your faction and the Anthony faction? I don't know if there are other factions beyond those. Is it just a power struggle? What's at the heart of it? What would it take to find common ground and bury the hatchet?
That's a difficult question to answer. I'll speak about it from my perspective. You know, throughout this process, a lot of my colleagues have asked me, why are you involving yourself with this? What's the problem? You've got, I mean, with respect, you've been in the legal fraternity for 30 years. You've got a good name out there. You've been running a practice. You don't need this in your life. And that's true. I've got an extremely busy law practice in Utrecht, and I don't actually have the time to deal with it as such. But morally, ethically, I think I have an obligation to the region, to the people, to to ensure that when I walk away from this, I walk away knowing that I've given it my best shot, knowing that I've tried. You know, I was happily sitting in my office doing my work and attending what I need to attend. When 5 years back, 6 years back, there was a knock on my door and one of the clubs in my area and two others came to me and said, we need you. Understanding that I was part of this administration even before then, I was part of the rugby administration during the Cheeky era as well. So when Cheeky got kicked out, I went happily back to my practice and I went and I did my thing until a break of approximately 5 years. And there was the call again to please come and help, please come and sort us out. For me, what lies at the heart of it is the fact that we need to rebuild Eastern Province. We need to leave a legacy that we can be proud of. If I walk away now, I don't think it's I've achieved what I have tried. As far as Antoine and the others are concerned, I don't know what drives them. I think personally, and I say this respectfully to them, they might have their own agendas. I think, you know, from my perspective, I believe I'm extremely principled, and whatever's right is right, and whatever's not right, I will not agree to. And I think that's where a lot of people have a problem with me in the administration. I'm not there because I need to be there. I don't get paid. I don't need to get paid from them, but I'm putting my time and my effort in the interest of it. What drives Antoine, I really wouldn't know. Maybe it's pride, maybe it's ego. But that is something for him to decide. But with the greatest of respect, wherever you go in our metro, let me restrict it to the metro at this stage, you will find that everyone will say, we've gone backwards in the last 3 months as far as administration of rugby is concerned. We've not built. If you look at what happened on the field of play with our provincial team, their performances, it affects the performances of the provincial team. It affects the perception out there of people having of Eastern Province. And for me, that's not good.
Well, I think you make a good point. Sponsors stay away from situations such as this. We've this week heard that the MBDA want to distance themselves from EP Rugby until this mess is sorted out. In the end, it's the players who suffer and, you know, the game suffers in our region.
Definitely, Darren. I can tell you, and it was in the newspaper just prior to all of this, Popo striking the sand in November. I was in advanced negotiation with a sponsor who was willing to sit down and come to our aid to some extent. I think one of them, it's not like the like your Mr. Price and all these other people that are sponsoring tens of millions, but whatever we could have achieved and received from the sponsor at this stage would have made a massive difference to where we are financially. And I was told then, are we stopping this negotiation at this point? Go and sort out your mess first, and then let's see if we're still interested to talk to you at that point. It's not a massive sponsor, but it would have made a difference. It would have made us competitive. It would have really uplifted us in some aspects as it is. And like you say, with the first sponsor coming on board, the ground is fertile then for other sponsors to come on board, because sponsors are looking for stability. Sponsors are looking for accountability. And I cannot guarantee any sponsor that at this stage. And if I go into any form of negotiations and I try to portray a position that we are stable and so on, I think I'm being unethical. My integrity is then at play, and I'm not prepared to do that.
I'm going to come back as a final question, because we are running out of time, George. I'm going to come back to a question I asked earlier. What do you think it would take for the two factions to pull together for the betterment of EP Rugby and for the game in the Eastern Province? What would it take to find that common ground?
Elections. Simple answer, elections. My view, Darren, with respect, is that so much has happened in the last 4 or 5 months that I think it's impossible for us to work together. Impossible. The personalities that we've encountered, the personal attacks on the integrity of individuals, it makes it very, very difficult for us to come together. I'm gonna say this to you, and I don't mean it in any way whatsoever. There was so much reputational damage done to me in my personal and professional capacity, that I have instructed attorneys to issue summons against some of the executive members for the reputational damage. Now, in a short way, I think that answers the question. Are we able to work together? I don't believe so, because there will be the sword of democracy hanging over your head that I'm sitting next to someone that I've got an issue with that I need to go sort out in court, in civil court, as far as the defamation claims are concerned. Similarly, I'm sitting next to someone that I don't know who tomorrow and the next day could be planning my downfall. And I'm not prepared to put myself in that situation. So elections to me is the only answer. Unless as an alternative, which I spoke about earlier on, I walk away and just decide that's it. I can walk away and whoever takes EP forward or down the drain, it's not my problem. I'm not into that.
George, at an elective meeting, would there not be disruption again? We've seen incidents of general lack of discipline amongst officials, and the meetings usually end up being chaotic. How do we end up having a meeting where everyone is civil, professional, polite, and accept the outcome?
We've got to place our faith in the democratic process. I strongly believe that the majority, the 95% of clubs will always abide, and they will be civil and so on. But like in any sphere in life, you know, we see it in the metro, we see it in national government, we see it all over. You always find a faction that's going to be not completely satisfied because things didn't go their way. So we're not unique in that sense. I cannot guarantee that we're going to have a peaceful election. But one thing I do know is up to 95%, if not more, of the clubs will abide and will accept. They only need stability. They will say, look, for me, this is not about a faction as it is. It's about the club saying, look, gentlemen, it's obvious you guys are at each other's throats all along. We're not happy with any of you, or some of us might not be happy with me, and some might not be happy with others and so on. So let us go through a democratic process and vote each other in or out, and then all abide by that. Even post that, Darren, I can guarantee you, even post that, there will still be clubs that is going to say, no, we're not happy with you and we don't accept this and so on. But 95% of our clubs will accept and move forward in the interest of rugby.
We leave it there. On that note, thank you very much, George. I know a lot of people have asked you for this interview. You've given us a lot of your time. You've been lengthy. You've been detailed. We appreciate that. All the best going forward. We will watch with interest and with great concern. We appreciate you joining us on Behind the Herald Headlines today.
Thanks so much, Darren.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.